That's better.
Yep. Good. Do it again. Good morning. Hope everyone's had a wonderful week. It's good to be with you. It's been way too long since we've been here. And it's wonderful to get back here at Union. We were living in, I don't have to tell anyone, but we're living in fearful and uncertain times. And as we live through these times, I always want God's people to remember that this isn't the first time we as God's people have come up to uncertain and fearful times. Certainly through the whole creation of this world standing, there's been fearful times. And certainly in Noah's time, it was fearful times. And certainly in Abraham, when the Lord sent him away from his people, there were uncertain and fearful times. And we could go over example and example and example of these things. But the one that's on my mind this morning, and I'm going to go to Luke, first chapter of Luke, and starting with the 46th chapter, is Mary, mother of Jesus Christ. She lived in uncertain times. Everything that world, part of the world knew was about to change, whether they understood or didn't, everything was about to change. And through God's mercy, he had chose Mary to be the mother of Christ, to be born, to save his people, to come into this world. And for her, this had to be fearful and uncertain times. It had to be fearful for this young, we would call her a girl now. She was young enough that she was just been espoused to Joseph, so she was young. She had not been married. She had not known a man. And she lived in a society. Now, let's look at the law for a second, not to go to detail, but think about what they lived in. Now, the time of our Lord Jesus Christ coming to the world, the law wasn't upheld as God had given it. They had created their own religion inside that law. They had taken what they wanted and they left out the rest of it. This should all should sound familiar to you. This is human nature when it comes to serving our God, unless God blesses us to be otherwise. But it had become a thing. But it was a different thing than God had given, but still it had touched the law. Now, if we look at the law and we take God's mercy out of that law, that is a scary thing. And when we look at the times in which these men, there hadn't been a prophet for 400 years, these men had turned to serving themselves, to worship them own selves, worshiping their nation, worshiping what they were. And they had stopped worshiping God, but yet they knew they had the law. Mary was born, was going through something that was unlawful, if it were be of human nature. We know it wasn't. We know God was in the matter. But it had, for that little girl, it had to be fearful. But God, in his mercy and his grace, was not only going to send an angel unto her, he was going to send an angel unto Joseph, and he was going to tell them what was going on and touch their hearts. And isn't it wonderful, as we walk through these times, as we walk through the times of our Lord, and I'm going to get to the scripture here, when we are fearful, when we're uncertain, we don't know what's going to happen. I've always heard, it seems like my whole life, the generation before, generations before, always look at the children, the small children now, and they wonder what's going to be for them, what's going to happen for them. And my answer is, and always has, and will continue to be, is the God that delivered us, the God that delivered generations upon generations, will continue to deliver these. I don't know the world they're going to live into. Every day something happens that I don't expect, even in these times. But God is good enough. God is great enough. God's people lack for nothing when we look and turn our hearts and minds to our Lord and Savior and make Him our attention, what matters the most to us. And then all these things will be put in line. Now let's look at Mary. She's in a situation that no woman had ever been or never will be in. She was going to bring in our Lord and Savior into this world as the mother. It had to be a terrifying time, but let's look what God did for her. And here's where my mind got on this. When we're coming up on Christmas and we're certainly thinking about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, but something happened to us, and it's a minor thing, but something happened to us on this trip. As we were about 50 miles outside of Meridian, Mississippi, we started having problems with our truck. And I don't know if anybody has a diesel with one of the DEF systems on it, but if something happens wrong with that DEF system, it starts you on a countdown. And when you hit that countdown, that thing's going to stop rolling. And if you've ever been between Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Meridian, Mississippi, that's not a place you want to have to pull over on the side of the road. There's nothing there. But that counter happened at a particular time in which we had no problem getting to a dealership in Meridian, Mississippi. And this is a small thing, but yet it occurred to me, our hand of our merciful God was upon us, and we were in a position in which we were delivered. This isn't something new. God has been doing this for God's, for His people since the creation. And now in the gospel church, we get to, with open eyes, if we will seek it, get to see the mercy and the love of a God, of a real God, of a created, our God that created all things, a God that's omniscient and almighty, and we truly believe in that because we knew when something was so important that He would take it upon Himself to do it and not wait for a bunch of sinful human beings to do it for Him. We believe in an omnipotent, all-powerful God. And then when you see that omnipotent, all-powerful God directing your life and keeping you and delivering you from the evils of this world, brothers and sisters, how we cannot be like Mary is in the scripture I'm about to read, I don't know. And this is what we need. This is what a born child of God needs in this world. We need to see the evidence of a God that loves us in our lives. And then we can take the fear and the uncertainty and put them where they put them behind us and walk forward as children of God, serving Him and doing what God has laid on our hearts. Mary did this thing. This baby would be the greatest joy of her life, I have no doubt, and the greatest grief of her life. But she walked as a handmaiden towards God and doing what was necessary to serve Him. It's a great example. Now, Mary was Mary. Mary was conceived in sin, just like we all were. Jesus Christ was not, but Mary was. She was a human being. She was just like us. She was just like the sisters here that are raising children. But yet she was doing it with the Son of God. All perfect. No sin free. Not a blemish upon Him. He was perfect, the perfect sacrificial lamb of our God the Father for us. Mary suffered and Mary rejoiced. Let's look at this scripture that God put on him. This is after the angel had revealed what Mary was to do and what was happening to Mary. And then she goes and meets the mother of John the Baptist. And we know John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. We never need to worry about when life happens, brothers and sisters. Life happened for John the Baptist, not only of the flesh, but of the spirit, because when he was around the mother of Jesus Christ, the spirit leapt inside of him. Brothers and sisters, let us hearken to the scriptures on all things and let us not have vain debates of this world when it comes to things like this. But brothers and sisters, we see Mary, and this is why, and she's, great things that happened to her, and this is what she says. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." How many times, and in times of trouble in your life, has your soul magnified the Lord? Magnify means to exalt. Magnify doesn't mean to make great in this situation. We can't make God great. God made God great. He is great in His very existence. I am the I am. That's what it means. His existence is in and of Himself. All power is in and of Himself. He needs nothing. It lacks nothing. We cannot say that. We have no power in ourselves. If we're capable of any good work or any good thing, it's because of the power of God, and He has touched our hearts and born us a new creature. But Christ, or God, one and the same, is I am the I am. But our souls can exalt Him. Our souls can magnify Him. And brothers and sisters, when we come in times of trouble, when we hit times of grief, but yet the soul that's inside of us. A man asked me recently, what is the soul? Brothers and sisters, I don't know. But I know you got one. I know every child of Adam has a soul. And I know some of those souls are going to go directly to our Heavenly Father as soon as these bodies go to sleep in this death. And those of Jesus Christ will never see the second and true death. That I know about the soul, but what it is, what it makes you to be a human being, and when God touches you and borns you a new creature with that spirit inside you, now that soul can exalt our Lord. How wonderful. What a tool it is in our lives when we suffer, when we come across. I believe since I've been before you, my mother had passed away and been in this world, but God blessed me through something. And if I wasn't, if, If I didn't, you get to situations in your life, you never know how you don't get to them, right? You see something coming around the bend, and you just don't know because you've never had it to deal with, or you'll never have it to deal with again in a lot of situations. You just don't know. But when you get there, and the things that you didn't want to see, but know that would come, come, and God shows you His mercy and His grace and His strength in you. He allows you to exalt Him. Though you're in your worst state, suffering in this world, heart broke, you can exalt a living God. This is where Mary was. And this is where we are. This is we as children of God. When we come across the problems and the hardships and the things that are set before us in this evil world, what does the Scripture say? I'm not going to get it just right, but each day is good for the evil thereof. Brothers and sisters, we in this country want to argue about what you have rights for. God never said you would get to be happy every day. God never said that everything would be easy. God never said that nothing would ever happen to you. No, He said, if I suffer, you suffer with me. And we as children of God, we rejoice in those sufferings because Christ suffered. And we're a child of God. How great it is to be us. Not because of us, but because of what Christ has done for us. Just as God had done these great things for Mary and is going to show her in her worry, in her care, I believe was to some degree troubled, God really showed her something and she got to rejoice about it. And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She was literally going to be the mother of her Savior. Her son was going to be her Savior. And God had showed her these great works in His life, just like God has showed you the great works He's done in your life. You're under the sound of my voice, not because you wanted to come hear me today, but because God has done something great in your life, and you want to be amongst His people, worshiping His name, honoring Him. God has done great things in your life. And my spirit hath rejoiced for my God, my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of this handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. You know, take one of these bottles of water. You know, how God chooses is different than how a man would choose. And thank God for it, brothers and sisters. But He didn't choose a daughter of the ruler of Israel. He didn't choose the daughter of the Roman emperor. He didn't choose a daughter of one of the high priests of Israel. He didn't choose how men would choose. He chose in His perfect wisdom. And He had this little girl, this little handmaiden, and He chose her. And this little handmaiden would suffer. This little handmaiden would have, as soon as this baby was born, would have to flee the country for fear of, because of what the governor was the ruler was doing there in Israel. She would suffer, but God had given her so much. And He had chosen Mary to be the mother of our Lord and Savior. For He that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is His name. His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. Let us understand fear in this context for 1 second. Fear isn't the fear we have of the evil things of this world. The fear isn't of, you know, when you're in a place that could be dangerous, that you have this natural fear. That's not the fear that's spoke of right here. Let me get that scripture one more time. Sorry, I lost my place there. Here it is. And His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation. Fear Him, having reference to your God. Having respect to your God. When we go through life, when we make the decisions we have to make, what do you use to make those decisions? Do you use the Word of God? If you are, you're showing reverence to God. You're showing respect to God. If you're using the wisdom of this world, then you're showing reverence to this world.
So those who are showing reverence, who are fear the Lord, that want to please God. That's a good way of putting it. We walk into life in which we want to please our Lord and Savior. Since my mother passed away, we've been staying nights with my father. He's always had problems being alone. He really doesn't like nights. And so me and four of my siblings have been swapping nights to go stay with him. And, you know, he knows what we do, and he's appreciative of it. But I love my father, but I don't do it for him. Because I know the scripture says to honor your father and your mother. So this is how we honor our father and mother. We do it because I believe it's good in the sight of the Lord. And if we make our choices that way in life, brothers and sisters, even if when we err, God will bless us because he knows your hearts. He knows your minds. And we're not perfect. We're going to get some stuff right and we're going to get some stuff wrong. But God knows your heart and he knows your mind and he knows the reason you do it. You can do the right thing so everybody with your horn trumpet before you, everybody can see you and see what you do. And brothers and sisters, you're not going to get a blessing out of it. But if you do the wrong thing is not really the right thing. If you err, but do it in your heart towards God and in his service, brothers and sisters, you can be blessed for it. But God is not subject on your actions. God is subject to his understanding and his wisdom, his mercy and his love. He's only subject to himself. For he hath done mighty. I'm going back a little bit. For he that is mighty hath done great things, and holy is his name. Sometimes we want to put our Lord right here and Satan right here and us right here in between. Brothers and sisters, he is mighty. We are not. We believe in total. I always lose that word. Thank you. I got a good wife. Total depravity for a reason. Because when we see ourselves lowly, when we see ourselves as not worthy of any of God's blessings, much less our eternal salvation, when we see ourselves as less, then we are in a situation to serve our God. But when we see ourselves as high and lifted up, when we see what this flesh can do, when we look at towards our own righteousness, which we have none, instead of our God's righteousness, then I hate to use the word lost, but we're in a situation in which we can't serve our God. That new creature, that inward spirit, is going to suffer for it. But when we believe ourselves are lowly, then brothers and sisters, we can see a great God. We can see a God that can do all things. My opinion on these days and ages is this, and it hasn't much changed since before, is this. We need God to keep us in all ways and all how. There's not a whole lot I can do to keep my family safe. There's a few things that I can try. I can try to live in the best area I can afford to live in. And I can try to have a good vehicle when we drive around so it'll be safe. And I can do those things. I can try. But through the power of God, we can live in the worst neighborhood in this country and he can keep us. Through the power of God, we could ride in a car that is, by every definition, unsafe, and he can keep us. God has no problem keeping us. And when we understand that, brothers and sisters in Christ, and we see a God who has done that very thing in our life all our days, we can worship him. We can look towards him. We can exalt him in our hearts just like Mary did. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them from low degree. And I don't give away here after this verse. I don't want to take too much of your pastor's time. If you're worried about who's in power, don't. The scripture, Mary comes across it right there. He can knock a man off his perch better than anybody posting on Facebook, Twitter, or anywhere else. God has no trouble. Don't fear those who rule over you, because God rules over all. And again, we can now exalt God in this truth, that what happens in this world can only touch you if God allows it. And we have a God that loves us. We have a God that's merciful. We have a God of great grace. And he has seen about his children ever since he put them on this earth. And he will continue to see about our children, about us, the generations that follow. Even so, Lord, come quickly. Because there is the cure. I spoke about this last week. One of the problems with our culture is we don't want to fix a problem. We want to throw some white paint on over it so it looks new. We don't want to dig in and see what the problem is. Our Lord knows what the problem is. And our Lord is going to fix the problem. He's going to take this rule, the sin, both root and stem, and He's going to cast it in that lake of fire, brothers and sisters. That's what we're waiting on. You know what's going to fix this world? Our Lord Jesus Christ is going to fix this world. And even more so, He's going to take you out of this world. Transfigured in the image, or risen from the grave, transfigured in the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be with Him ever, forever and ever and ever. Keep your sights on the goal. Keep your sights on what actually matters the most to a child of God. There's nothing you're lacking God can't fix in this world, but more than that, He's going to fix the sin that hinders you in this life. He's going to fix every sickness you've ever had, every creaking joint, every backache, and He's going to deliver you into literal paradise forever and ever and ever. Brothers and sisters, if we will keep the hope of our resurrection and our salvation before us, we'll see how petty and little the things of this world truly are. You are not creatures of this world. You are created and through the power of God to be so much greater. Look towards your eternal salvation. Look what your God has done for you. He is greater than your trouble. He is greater than your problem. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It didn't do a little bit. He did a whole lot. Don't put your God in a little box. Worship Him for what He is. As the best we can anyway for what He is. That He is high. He is lifted up. His judgments are perfect. His wisdom is perfect. He, in that perfect wisdom, He left us with a great piece of information in which we can find all things necessary to live life here. And brothers and sisters, it's not always the best to be in a family of a preacher. Sam was stressed out the other day. He's his father's son. He gets stressed out a little easy sometimes. And I told him, sit down and read your Bible for a minute. Now, his father ought to take this very advice. He sat down, he read for about 10 minutes, and he was a different child. Let us use that example. I have, sometimes, you know, daddies need a shovel to the head so they would see something that's right before them too. But let us use that example. That if you're stressed out, if you're worried about the world, read your Bible. It'll comfort you. And the words that have been left here through the very power of God, our sister Mary, the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, said some words that hit me in my heart when I read them. And God can direct you to some words in this Bible that'll get your heart when you read them. And whatever you need, this book is fit for through the blessings of our Lord. Thank you for your kind attention.